So we're going to start a new series tonight. Everybody go, whoo! Cool, that works for me. We're going to start a new series tonight called Emmanuel. What do you guys think we're going to do in this series? Like, anybody got any ideas? Oh, Emmanuel, sweet. We are going to talk about Jesus. Good. That's good. Good answer. Of course, you could also be thinking, well, we're at church. Of course, we're going to talk about Jesus. We are going to take this month, because who knows what's coming up the very first weekend of April. Not April Fools. Well, it is coming. Easter's. Yes.
Oh, it's Easter time.
Easter time is coming up. We're less than a month away. We're like 5 weeks away, so it's extended month. Anyways, so we have a Choir of the Fire the last weekend of March, right? Anybody? Yes? 26th, 27th, last weekend of March. And then that next weekend is Easter's. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take this month and we're going to take the time to kind of examine what Jesus did in his lifetime and kind of really personally get to know Jesus and what he did while he was here. Right? Sounds cool. It is cool. So if everybody would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Today we're going to do a little bit of groundwork before we get into the actual Jesus part. Matthew chapter 3, just first verse. We thought about, oh, should we do the birth of Jesus? But, you know, Christmas just was a couple months ago. Hopefully you guys kind of get the understanding of the birth of Jesus. Cool? All right. So, we're going to talk about John the Baptist. And what did John do? John prepared the way for, well, Jesus. Jesus prepared the way for us. Okay. So let's look at chapter 3 here. Alright. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I'm going to stop you there. Who knows what repentance means? There's a slight difference. Because we can sit there and say, "God, please forgive me for what I've done." But is that necessarily repenting from it? It's not. Repentance is when you ask forgiveness, you claim forgiveness, and then you turn from it. It's basically actually learning a lesson, not saying every time you take a cookie out of the cookie jar, "God, forgive me," and then eat a cookie, and then you go back, "Yeah, forgive me again." No, repenting is not going back to the cookie jar. So we just want to get that out there. Everybody knows what repentance means, right? Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about it. All right, let's read on. Verse 3, "For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Why would you want to make his path straight? Who wants to walk down a path like this? Of course, some of you think outside the box and say, "Who wants to walk down a straight, boring path when I can be doing this?" Let's turn over into Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. And we're going to read something out of there real quick. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. This is actually the verse that John was quoting back in Matthew 3. Okay? And here it says, it starts at verse 3 and it goes through verse 5, I believe. "So the voice is calling, 'Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" You know, I was sitting there the other day, I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, kind of makes sense, kind of doesn't. Why would you want to take the mountains, lower them down, take the valleys, lift them up, make the rugged terrain smooth? Why would you want to do that? Anybody think of any reason? Anybody? Why would you want to do that? Ty, come on, Albert Einstein, why would you want to do that? Makes it easier. You know, at first when I heard this verse, I was thinking, well, we're preparing the way for Jesus. And Jesus is going to see everything a little bit differently than we do, right? So he's going to see a high mountain, which, if you were to think of it king-wise, or president, or rich compared to poor, high mountain, low valley, Jesus doesn't see it as, he's rich, I got to treat him a little bit better than this guy sitting on the side of the road. You bring it all to an even level, and that's the way that Jesus sees it. He sees us all on the same level as each other. Just because we have a classification of who we are here in the world doesn't mean that that's who we are in God's eyes, and which one matters. Anybody? Thank you, Spencer. Jesus! So let's go on. Back in Matthew 3. You guys kind of understand? You're all kind of just like, damn. You got it?
No.
No. Okay. That's fine. Here we go. You think of a high valley, right? You got your high valley, and you got your rugged terrains. I mean, Jesus doesn't care what you've done. He knows what you're going to do. Do you guys believe that?
Yes.
You guys completely believe that? Jesus loves you the way you are, not only the way that you have been, the way that you are, the way that you're going to be. He knows everything that you're going to do. He knows everything that you have done. Every thought that you had, every thought that you're going to have. Do you guys believe that? So Jesus doesn't see us as the Super Bowl champions of the world. He doesn't see classifications of the poor guy trying to get a ride down the highway, and you're sitting, and other people are sitting in their car going, 2 points, you know? You guys have done it. I know you have. You've never played that game? You hit the person, it's 2 points a person. It's a joke. It's not a real game unless you're just strange. So, let's go back to Matthew 3. Look in verse 4. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey. You guys ever eaten a locust? I've never eaten a locust, actually. Anybody ever eaten a locust?
No.
Like, have you ever? Has that ever happened? All right. Well, in that case, I got a little game for you tonight. I need 2 volunteers. Let's do Rachel and Colin. Come on. Up here, yeah. Up here.
Wait, I don't think I'm going to do it.
No, you volunteered. Put that on as a blindfold. I know. It's not a blindfold.
No, you do it.
I don't. Your guess is as good as. Anybody know how to. Kieran will take care of you.
I can take care of you.
These are the best blindfolds I could find. It is a whole shirt. Do whatever way will keep them from viewing things. All right.
I'm not done yet.
I don't know if I like this game.
You're going to love it. All right. Now, come to the table. To the table of love. Right here. Easy. You're at the table. You're at the table. Now, what we're going to do.
I can't chew.
Why don't you volunteer? Too bad. You'll be all right. It's locusts are soft. All right. Now you stop trying to hold my hand. Now, here's the thing. You have to grab whatever's on your plate. Be the first one to eat it. Finish it. Show me that you're done, and you get a prize. All right. Good luck. All right. Now here, put your hands on the table. Right up here. Bring it up here by the plate. A little bit further. A little further. This is up here. Yeah, that's the Bible. Kieran, show her where the plate is.
I can't see.
Here. You'll be all right, Colin. Okay. You guys got your plate?
Yeah.
Now it's on your plate. Just grab it. First one to be done with it wins the prize. Ready? On your mark. Get that.
No, I'm confused.
You just gotta.
Go.
You got the plate right here. You got the plate.
Yeah.
The plate's right there.
No.
The plate's right there. You just gotta grab it off your plate and eat it. Okay. You gotta be fast too. They're fast.
Your
the plate that you're holding. Get your hands on a plate. I'm gonna pull these things off. There's gonna be an empty plate right there with something on it.
Oh.
Ready? Get set and go. Eat it. Eat it. Eat it fast.
Rachel, can you
eat it
faster?
Come on, you gotta eat it faster.
Shut the whole thing in your mouth, Rachel. You have a band.
Oh,
eat
wow,
it. Chomp it.
Oh.
Chomp it.
Oh God, I thought Rachel was too late.
Don't talk with your mouth open, Colin.
I have it.
Colin, he's just.
This is only stage one of what you're eating, too.
I said two.
You guys act like this stuff tastes bad.
I know. Come on. I've eaten a live frog.
Ew.
You've eaten a live frog.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. You gotta show me now.
All right. Rachel wins. Sorry, Collie.
You're really there.
Not there. You just
all right. Okay, it's okay. It's okay.
Can I see you now?
Yeah, your prize is a shirt that's wrapped around your face. all right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. Thanks for making my game fun and eventful. Fun and eventful. You know, I thought about actually bringing Locust, but I was like, I don't know if I wanted to go try to catch him because I flinch a lot. I'm a little bit of a pansy, so stuff starts flying at me. And then my Tourette's will start kicking in because I do have Tourette's, and they'll start kicking in. So something will scare me. I'll be like, I'm like falling down on the ground and. You guys laugh. You know, it's a disorder.
Sure.
You think this is funny. You think I'm telling a joke up here?
Yeah.
No. This stuff is true. All right. So the point of the game, I was nice and gave you cookies. I thought about, like, soaking them in Dr. Pepper or something. Like I said, I thought about actually looking for locusts. Because, if John ate them, I'm sure he'd be all right. I like move the things and they start flying on. Go find it blindfolded. Listen for the buzz. All right, let's keep going in Matthew 3. Let's go down to verse 8. Let me skip down a little bit. Okay. So John's hanging out and he's preaching to people. He's telling them, hey, what's up? You know, this guy's coming. You guys better be ready for it. And John's standing in the Jordan River, baptizing people as they come. And he looks at he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming. And he's kind of like, man, who warned you about this? You know, because they're coming to be baptized. And he looks at him and says in verse 8, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Okay, what does that mean to you? When we bear fruit, bearing fruit is, you know, we come to God, then we serve God, do works, and then the fruit of that is what comes from that. Say, if you invest in somebody, and then one day they become saved, it's fruit. Would you agree? Yes, Einstein? Thank you. When you move your hair doesn't move, so that doesn't make sense. You move your hair doesn't move. Okay. I was listening to a Joseph Prince thing one time. Joseph Prince is I guess he's Korean speaker. He's a pastor. And he said, when it comes to fruit, fruit doesn't grow by us focusing on fruit. So if we look at each other and say, you're pretty rotten today, nothing's ever going to get better. When you actually, the way for fruit to grow is to focus on the root of the plant. Would you agree? Who's a gardener in here? Who gardens? Ty, I was going to say, really? I don't garden personally. My mom is probably the greatest gardener on this planet. Let me just throw that out there. My mom is probably the greatest gardener on this planet. Because, see, here's the thing. You'll see. My mom will plant something, and if she really puts effort into keeping that thing alive, it dies. If she just puts it in the ground and leaves it alone and forgets about it, it lives, and it looks nice. She waters it, and it's like, forget you, I'm dead. My mom's the greatest gardener on the planet. She does it with her mind. Who has ever actually tried to bring somebody to know Christ? Have you ever tried to share Christ with your friends?
No.
Your friends, your family, people. Okay, and has it always worked? It did with her? But did it work every time? Okay. Fruit doesn't always come whenever we focus on the fruit. Fruit doesn't always come in areas that we think it's going to come. So we go on. And we look at it. We look at it as we're not going on yet, but you ever seen like a waterfall where the water trickles down, hits one rock, hits another rock, trickles down again, hits another rock, and another. You guys ever seen something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of what God is calling us to be when it comes to fruit and helping people. Is it's not us that's the source of helping people. God is always the source, correct?
Yes.
Right on. So what we do is we just make ourselves available for God to pour into us, and then it pours out to others. It relays. Does that make a little bit better sense on that? Is everybody still sitting here? Because if I'm unclear about something, let me know. We will clarify it. Everybody excluding Travis. I'm just kidding, Travis. Ask me afterwards. We'll talk about it. Anybody believe in here that fruit can be bad? Bad fruit can be rotten?
Yeah.
Actually, look at the superstar who's here tonight who ate the rotten pear or whatever it was that one night. Ashley took a bite out of that rotten fruit, and I about lost my lunch because I thought it was really rotten. I'm all right, man. If I was gonna lose my lunch with the fruit, then what you do on your own time is your own problem. Put it on YouTube. I'll try to watch it there. At least I can hit the pause button. Fruit can go bad. And if we keep going into verse 11 here. We're going to verse 11. And John's saying, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And my brain kind of got rolling on this part the other day. I know you're thinking, wow, his brain did something? Yes, it did. So don't laugh at that.
Nope.
No. If I were to mention a disorder I have, you would laugh. So I've kind of thought about it. And now let's just mess up, Travis. So I thought about it, and I sat there and thought about it for a while. I actually even took a nap thinking about this. And so I've kind of come to this thought of what we're going to say as a two stages of baptism. And you're thinking, oh, Tubbs, you only get dunked once. You just go under, then you're done. One stage. No, I'm talking about a little bit more in depth of baptism. Anybody know what baptism is? Raise your hands if you know what it is. Show a little bit of involvement in what's going on here. Thank you. All right, cool. Put your hands down. There's two stages of baptism. John is sitting here in the Jordan, and he's telling all these people, I can baptize you with water. Okay, your pastors can baptize you with water. Can your pastors baptize your heart?
No.
They can't. God can. Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. He puts an end to your whole past, everything. He puts an end to it with the fire. And then He fills you with the Holy Spirit so that you can make choices according to the Holy Spirit, so that you can think according to the Holy Spirit, so that you can live according to the Holy Spirit. That's the first stage of baptism. Is baptism by Jesus. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Stage 2. Actual baptism. As we know it as public baptism, whatever you want to call it, baptism for the church. Baptism is kind of a outward thing, because you stand in front of the church and you say, here I am. I surrendered my life to Christ. I believe in Jesus. Now he died for me. And I'm here to be cleansed. And so you get dunked, as I call it. I mean, you don't want to make it sound real sweet. No, I'm just kidding. Baptism's awesome. I've done it. Who's laughing at that? Come on, I have done it. But anyways, whenever you get baptized, it's not just about you saying, it's not just about you saying, well, here we go, I've been saved, time to go swimming because I've been saved. You know, I just made that up on my own. You guys should be proud. Now, it's not just about that. It's also a way of the church saying, okay, we see this, and now we're going to help you. We are going to join together as a family, because now you're part of the family, and we're going to do our part to keep you safe, to keep you on the right path. Would you agree? Who in here has not been baptized? Ever. Colin. Rachel. Jazz. Awesome name. Jazz. Anyways, that's a sweet name. Like I said, if you ever want to bring your parents up here, I want to talk to them. You like jazz music?
No.
You don't. Gosh. That makes it even better, actually. You can't stand jazz music. Man. Anyways, we'll talk about jazz later. So we go on. If you've never... I'll backtrack. If you've never been baptized and are interested in it, please come talk to us. Easter's coming up. They usually do a couple of baptisms on Easter. If you guys don't want to go over there in the freezing cold swimming pool that we got over there, and you want to go to a freezing cold river, either way, it's going to be cold. It's water. It's cold unless you're in a shower. If you guys are interested in baptism, please let us know. We will take care of you. That's not going to happen. You go under, come up with blisters. We got to dunk him again. I'm just kidding. You guys are going to get the best of me tonight. What'd you say? Well, you can't baptize somebody in the shower. They got to be submerged. Like K-19. It's a good movie. Talk about that later. Hey. So we go on. We carry on into the next part of this chapter. Guess who's going to get baptized?
You.
I'm not literally in the Bible. Jesus. Yes. It is time for Jesus to get baptized. Who baptizes Jesus?
John.
Yes. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Isn't that just irony?
Yeah.
What?
It's irony.
It's irony. I said, isn't that irony? Like you I did say irony. It made sense, didn't it? Thank you. So you guys are questioning me. That's the answer to all things besides Jesus. Don't question me. Take your questions to Jesus, because I don't have them all. Just end it right there. Alright. I'm just kidding. So, we carry on. Jesus comes walking into the Jordan. You got John over there standing in the Jordan. I watched a video on YouTube of this. John standing there, hairy guy, with his camel hair clothing and his belt. He's standing there. People are getting dunked and... I mean, he's talking actual words. And here comes this Jesus guy, cool, with real straight, nice hair. He comes strolling on in. Takes his, not like his robe, but his jacket. Still has clothes on. Walks into the river, walks up behind him. John stops, turns around. Here he is. Jesus is here. Party's on. Jesus in his orange slice. I'm just kidding. Not going to get into that. Long story. So John, Jesus comes and he says, I'm here for you to baptize me. And John goes, no way! That, I can't baptize you. If Jesus walked up to you and said, hey, dunk me, I need to be baptized, what would you say? I might actually say, okay, no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't. Think of it this way. If Jesus came up to one of you, ladies, and said, hey, well, not Jesus, if God came up to you and said, you're going to birth my son. See, you'd just be like, not going to happen. You know, you're going to carry my child. That's what he said to Mary. What did he say? Any input? Wouldn't it be kind of freaky, though?
Yeah, that would be freaky.
Exactly.
It'd be weird.
Exactly. So we look at it, and John's just doing the same thing that we do. Jesus puts these obstacles, these things in front of us and says, hey, I need you to do this. And we spend all the time going, ha! Not happening! Nope! It's all yours. Let somebody else do it. You gotta be a model, but I don't look as good as he does. I mean, he's got the fro going. But I got the flowing locks. I took a shower today, actually. We'll just throw that out there right now. I'm clean. Anyways. So, John's doing anything that we do. How many of you have ever had something come up in front of you, and you're just sitting there, God, I can't do this. I'm not going to do it. Somebody else can do it. How many of you have ever done that? I've done it. Pretty much all of us. So John says, no way. And Jesus tells him, we look at it in verse 15. Jesus says, permit at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So John's thinking, oh snap, Jesus just told me, okay, I'll baptize you. That didn't happen in the YouTube video. Should have. It didn't. So John agrees and baptizes Jesus. How many of you have ever looked at an issue coming up to you and said, no, God, I can't do this. But then God gave you the comfort and knowledge that you'll be all right. And so you did it anyways. And you pulled through. All right? It happens. We finish off the story with verse 16 and 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How many of you have been baptized? Raise by a show of hands. How many of you have been? Okay. I don't know about you guys, but I know when I came out of that water, there wasn't no dove flying to sit on my shoulder, right? Let me tell you why, because you ain't Jesus. I didn't expect it. You know, the light would have been a little cool, but I was under a bridge at the time, so it didn't work out. I'm just kidding. Jesus came to be baptized to fulfill the righteousness. And as he rose up out of that water, God looked at him and said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. You think about that. You think about John preparing the way for Jesus. Jesus is calling. Somebody's calling. So you look at it all. And as Jesus came to this point, and John baptized him, there's a main part of the story that I think that we're all kind of just, it's going shoot, right over your head. It went over my head till I sat there and thought about it for a whole afternoon and evening. Let me tell you this. The point is, when you come to serve God, when you come to bless God, when you use everything that you have, all of your talents, your abilities, your possessions, your life, your time, everything that you have, when you use it to bless God, He will bless you in return. John stood in that Jordan River and he preached the Word of God. And he told people, "Behold, this man is coming." He put his time, his talents, his abilities. He put it all out there. That he's coming. I could be off building a new house with Legos, doing what I want to do, listening to the new Spice Girls CD, which is my favorite. He wasn't doing that though. He stood in that river to help save lives. As we close tonight, I want to know, just close your eyes, bow your heads. By a show of hands, if you feel like you have not really been living the way that you're supposed to be living lately, if you feel like you have not put all that you have towards God and keeping the relationship and your bond with Him as good as it could be, I want you to raise your hand. If you feel like you've maybe not done everything the way that you could have done things to please God, to help God, let's pray. God, you see all these hands that are raised here, Lord. You see them, Lord, and maybe you know what ways they could be better, but Lord, you take them as they are. All their faults, all the good parts, the bad parts. God, I pray for every person with their hand raised in here. For they are acknowledging that they are not perfect and that they could do a little more for you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that you give them the strength, the power, the abilities, the mindset. God, show them those times when they could do a little more for you. Help them to get on a regular schedule of studying your word, spending time with you, God. Help them to be everything that they want to be. Help them to be everything that you need them to be. In Jesus' name. And with your eyes still closed, by a show of hands, you say, God, I want to do more, but I don't know how to do more. I want to be better, but I don't really know how to be better. I don't know what ways we could be better. I need help. By a show of hands, please raise your hands. If you feel like you need guidance when it comes to your personal walk with God or serving Him. Maybe you feel like you want to be plugged in here, but you're not. God, we thank you for all these people here tonight, Lord. We pray that you bless each and every one of them, God. We pray that you open up opportunities for all these who are here that are hungry to help you out, God, that are hungry to spread your word, that are hungry to be filled by you in your presence, Lord. God, I pray for every person in this room, every heart in this room. May you connect with them on a whole new level. They've raised their hand, Lord, to say, I'm ready to bless God. In Jesus' name, we pray that you just open up opportunities, open up areas, show them people and the places that they can go by blessing you, Lord. God, we thank you for being here tonight. Pray that you take all of us home safely. In Jesus' name, amen. Choir of the Fire's on 26th and 27th.